Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's Shi'ur is Nidorim Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shi'ur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shi'ur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shi'ur, we concluded with the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. We saw a series of different expressions that resulted in a vow, in a binding vow. The Gemara opens up with a topic heading that we have included on the side. You can see where the word nosei is written in. We've included Moni Masnisen, according to whom is our Mishnah. The Sover, the Mishnah is of the opinion, Diamrir Michlal Lav Ata Shomea Hain, that one infers, that from the negative one can infer the positive. Ukitikotoni, as our Mishnah taught, Lachulin she'ochelach. If a person says lachulin she'ochelach, then the result is usur. It's a binding vow. Demashma, the expression lachulin she'ochelach implies that lo chulin lehave, that which I would give to you is not to be viewed as chulin, elo korban ma she'ochelach. That which you would be getting from me would be korban. Korban is the origin of vows, and a korban is that which you make forbidden. So what this person is actually saying is the food that you would be taking from me is forbidden unto you. But how did we get to that conclusion? By inferring from the expression, namely, that which I will feed you is not chulin. Chulin is the mundane, and the opposite of that is that which is holy, and that which is holy is forbidden. So from the expression that's stated in the negative, I infer the positive, namely, not chulin is what you will be getting from me, but rather, yes, kotshim. Kotshim is that which has been sanctified, and hence also, and our Mishnah said that is a binding vow. So now our Gemara opens with a question. We've noted that the question is a long question. There's a sort of a give and take within this section of Gemara, but more than halfway down this Omid, the Gemara comes to a climax. Savruha, we are making an assumption, and the word savrua, generally speaking, would be an assumption that's rejected, but in this case, it represents an assumption that will stick. And the Meforshim point out that you have another instance of a savruha being an assumption that remains in the first daf of Masechus Bava Basra. So here the Gemara says savruha mai lachulin. The expression lachulin she'ochelach that we saw in the Mishnah means loy lachulin lehave. We saw the Meforshim in our previous shiur that vowelized the lamed with a patach lachulin, and that vowelization enables us to understand the word lachulin as not chulin. Not chulin shall be, ella korban. And now that's an inference. Not chulin, but yes, korban. Bear in mind, the speaker didn't say that which I give to you will be a korban. But he spoke in the negative. That which I will give to you will be non-chulin, from which we infer, but yes, korban. And that is binding. And that means that we can take expressions and draw the inference from them, and that inference will be binding. Moni Masnisen, according to whom is our Mishnah? E, Rebbe Meir, if you were to think to ascribe authorship to Rebbe Meir, that can't be, because les le michlal av atoshomehein. Rebbe Meir says, basically, and we put it in broad terms, things must be spelled out. You cannot leave people to draw conclusions through inferences. Disnan, and here we see a moker for that, a source for that. Rabbi Meir Omer called Tnai She'eno Ketnai B'nei God U'B'nei Ruvain Eino Tnai. Any condition that is not spelled out in both the positive terms and the negative terms is not a binding condition. And the reference that you see in the Gemara to the B'nai God, B'nai Ruvain, that's a historical reference to the tribes of God and Ruvain, that when in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu they insisted on remaining on the eastern side of the Jordan River and seemingly not participating in the conquest of the land of Israel on the western bank of the Jordan River. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll say, made a deal with them, or they made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu spelled out the conditions. And he says that if you will come and fight with us in conquering the land, so then you will get that which you desire. And if you will not come and fight with us, then you will not get that which you desire. So everything was spelled out, the positive and the negative. And we didn't leave it, it wasn't left to them to infer that if you come and fight with us, you will get what you want. And then it stands to reason that if we don't come and fight, then we won't get what we want. No, it wasn't like that. But rather, everything was spelled out. So Rabbi Meir does not hold from Michlal Lav Atoshimahen, that from inferring from the negative, you can conclude the positive. Well, but our Mishnah says you can. Ella, Rabbi Yehuda, he. So we'll have to assume then that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the known Bar Plukta of the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Well, Amos Seifa. Let's continue then in the reading of our Mishnah. It said, and here's again a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Yushalayim Lo Omar Klum. If a person says that an item is Yerushalayim, that's not a vow, it's meaningless. Midaseifa Rabbi Yehuda, then it stands to reason that if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the end of the Mishnah, Reisha Lav Rabbi Yehuda, the Reisha, which is what we're focusing right now on, the Lahulin Sha'ichaloch part of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, is not Rabbi Yehuda. You see that he speaks up, his sheet is referred to only at the end of the Mishnah, but the beginning, that's not Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, and you'll see we have a double underline to highlight the expression Kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. You see that over here, and you'll see it again later. The Gemara responds and says Kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. The entire Mishnah is really authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Hachi Katani, and the end of the Mishnah should be understood as follows: She Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'omer Yerushalayim Lo Omar Klum. The Rashi explains. We're looking together at the Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. Shreb Yehuda Omer Ha'imer Yerushalayim V'chulei Deboina Shomer Kit Yerushalayim. In order for the vow to take hold, it's expected that you will say the word Yerushalayim, but with a prefix Chof Klomar Ke Korbonos. If you say that you want something to be binding, and you say, I want this, let's say, this item to be Yerushalayim, that's nothing, because in order for a vow to be binding in the use of the term Yerushalayim, you would have to say Ki Yerushalayim. So that the Mishnah is, in fact, completely authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who at this point in time also represents the opinion that says you can draw inferences from that which is stated in the negative and discover what the positive is, even though the positive was not spelled out. The Gemara asks, V'hot Tanya, but do we not have a Tanaic source that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'omer Kit Yerushalayim Lo Omar Klum, Ad Shiyoda B'dover HaKorev B'Yerushalayim, that even with this, we'll call it this improved version namely one who says that I want this item to be Ki Yerushalayim, it's meaningless. So we see that you can't explain Reb Yehuda of the Seifa as trying to teach that point when you see that here explicitly he doesn't hold from that. And when, until what point is a neder then going to be binding? Ashiyadu b'davar karav Yerushalayim means until you vow comparing the item that you want to prohibit to be compared to something that's offered within Yerushalayim, like animal offerings or meal offerings that are offered on the altar that's found in the holy temple in Yerushalayim. So it's not reasonable then to say that the resha of the Mishnah is going to be in accordance with Reb Yehuda, when Reb Yehuda is the author of the Seif of the Mishnah. And the answer we try to give, that the entire Mishnah is in accordance with Yehuda, and understand it as we suggested before, that falls away. The Gemara responds once again and says, Kula Rebbe Yudahi. The entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Utre Tanoi Aliva Rebbe Yehuda. And there are two opinions as to what Rebbe Yehuda holds with regard to a vow using the term Ki Yerushalayim. So that, just to review the main point, our mission that said Lachulin She'oichalach is a binding vow is a result of Michlal Lav Atashomehain, because Lachulin She'oichalach really means not Hulin is that which you will be getting from me. So not Hulin, but rather, and here's the inference, but rather, yes, Korbanos is what you are getting from me. And that's another way of saying that that which you get from me shall be unto you like a korban, like a sacrifice. And in simple terms, that which you are getting from me is forbidden to you. So one opinion of Reb Yehuda, though, with regard to the Yerushalayim issue, is that by saying Ki Yerushalayim, that is an effective vow. And then there's a second opinion as to what Reb Yehuda holds on that topic, namely that by saying Ki Yerushalayim, even saying Ki Yerushalayim, that is not effective until you're more specific and say that the item you're trying to prevent, you're trying to prohibit, shall be like something offered in Yerushalayim, but not merely comparing it to Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Tanya. And we have a Tanaic source that has a number of different phrases. On the side of the Gemara, you see the word Nosei, a topic heading. Nisoyon, and we've written on the side, Nisoyon shel Gemara Lahamid Braisik Rebbe Meir. We're going to see a Tanaic source and the Gemara's subsequent attempt to set up the source like Rebbe Meir. The Sover, Lo Amrinon Michlalav Ato Shomea Hain. That we do not leave you to draw conclusions through inference type logic, but rather, if something is going to take hold, it would have to be spelled out. So now let's see the source. Chulin, hachulin, kechulin. Person uses this any of these words. Chulin meaning something that's mundane or common. Bein she'ochal loch, bein she'lo ochal loch, mutter. Meaning there's no vow. So if a person were to say chulin lo ochaloch, that is not a binding vow. La chulin she'ochaloch osir. La chulin lo ochaloch mutter. So if a person says la chulin, or there's another girsa that says lo chulin she'ochaloch, that is binding. However, if you say lo chulin lo ochaloch, that's not binding. Now, the Gemara will go over this source of trying to figure out the authorship. Resha Moni. The Resha is in accordance with whom? Rebbe Meir he. The less lay, Rebbe Meir, denies the idea of Michlal Lav Ato Shomehain, that through the inference drawn from the negative, you can conclude the positive. So let's just check that out. Our Mishnah, this Tanaic source, that is, mentioned amongst other things, if a person were to say, Chulin lo ochel loch. So chulin I will not be providing you with. In other words, my food unto you is not chulin. So that what is it in the positive? It would be a korban. And yet the source says that a phrase like that of chulin lo ochel loch, where you could infer a term that would lead to prohibition, yet it doesn't work. It's ineffective. And that was what the Mishnah, what this source said in the middle of the line, the word mutar. It's not binding. That reflects an opinion that says we don't say mechlal avat hashemayim. That's Rebbe Meir. Just to remind ourselves, Rebbe Meir was the author of the Tanai God and Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvain, where things had to be spelled out, the positive and the negative. Otherwise, it's not binding. Amos Seifa. And we now present a question. Notice it takes a number of lines to develop. So let's continue with the Seifa. It said in the Seifa of this source, L'chulin lo ochaloch mutter. That was the final example of the source. That if a person says L'chulin lo ochaloch, the vow is not binding. V'hotnan. But do we not have a source that says L'korban lo ochaloch? Rabbi Meir Osir, if a person were to phrase his vow using that expression, namely le korban lo ochaloch, Rabbi Meir says that the vow is binding. The kashyalon, and we ask on that ha les le mechlalav atashomei hain. Why is that binding? Let's analyze that phrase. He says, "La korban lo ochaloch." So, and now la korban, it will assume, like we've said before, that if you vowelize it with a patach, it's like saying la korban is like not korban. I will not be giving you. So, a non korban is that which I will not be giving you, inferring that which you would be getting from me is a korban. That's an inference. That's mechlal lav atushmein. From the negative, we infer the positive. And the positive inference then comes out the food that you would be receiving to me shall be unto you like a korban. And Rabbi Meir says it's binding. But isn't that a problem? Because in order to come to that conclusion, we have to draw an inference. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba explains that when he said le korban lo ochaloch, it's not simply an inference, but rather nase ke'oimer. It's rather as if the person is saying le korban yehe lefikoch lo ochaloch. Now notice how we add in this lefikoch lo ochaloch. So if a person says le korban lo ochaloch, it's not like we thought before, but if you want to understand why that's usur, is because by saying le korban lo ochaloch, it's like saying that le korban yehe, the food that I have with respect to you shall be like a korban, and therefore you won't be able to eat from it. So you see that we will say we doctor up the phrase, we add a certain type of understanding to the phrase, and then come to a conclusion. So hocha nami, so too with regard to someone who says lo chulin lo ochaloch, as we saw at the end of the source, three lines from the top, where it said la chulin lo ochaloch, and we explained that la chulin is like saying not chulin lo ochaloch. So why couldn't that be explained the same way as Rabbi Abba did and say, Hochi ko'amarle, what the fellow is saying is, lo chulin leheve, lefikach lo ochaloch. That which you would be receiving from me is not chulin, it's not mundane, and therefore you cannot eat from it. And I'm sure you're noting that this approach of saying lo chulin lehave, not chulin it shall be, namely the food that I provide, lefikach lo ochaloch, and therefore since it's not chulin, you will not be able to eat from it. That is direct prohibition. That's not inference drawing. So that if you're going to suggest that the source above is going to be like Rebbe Meir, then why does the end of the source, which said lo chulin lo ochaloch, why does the end of the source result in it saying mutter and we don't adopt Rebbe Abba's approach? The Gemara answers, Hi Tana, Sovar lo kerebi meir bechada, upolig ole bechada. The brisa at the top that you see in the frame, in which you saw lechulin lochalach, and that resulting in a non vow, that is because he holds like Rebbe Meir with regard to one aspect of things and disagrees with him with regard to another. And the Gemara spells that out. Sovar lo kavosei bechada, the author of the top source agrees with Rebbe Meir on one point, the less lay michlal lav atashomehain. He does not accept inference drawing. And therefore, when you saw at the opening of the source, you saw lechulin lo ochaloch, not chulin, I will not be giving you. And you would have been, you might have inferred, but korban, which represents prohibition, is what you would be getting from me. That's why the source says it doesn't take hold, because in order to get to conclude a prohibition, you would have to use inference. Logic. So on that score, that the unnamed anonymous Tanaic source at the top is like Rebbe Meir, upolig ole bechado bekorban, but he disagrees with Rebbe Meir with regard to the word bekorban is very terse, but it's a reference to Rebbe Abba's approach to the Tanaic source, which read Le Korban Lo Ochalach Rebbe Meir Oser, and in order to understand that, you had to add in the Le Korban Yehei Lefikoch Lo Ochalach understanding of Rebbe Abba. Well, the top source doesn't agree with that approach. Therefore, according to the top Tana, Rashi points out that if a person would have said lo korban or la korban lo ochaloch, Rebbe Meir would have ruled mutter, because in order to get to a statement of prohibition, you would have to infer, and we don't accept inference logic. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi has a different approach, and that's why we're calling him a point number two. Ha di Omar lechulin, the ha di Omar lo lechulin. The approach we're taking here is not like we said before. Before we were assuming that lechul, when you see lachulin, it is like saying lo chulin. Rav Ashi says, don't understand things like that. And we take a look at the Rashi explanation in the middle of the wide lines. Ha diomar lechulin, diomar lechulin leochaloch, have mutter. If a person were to say lechulin leochaloch, that would be mutter. Afagav de mashma, even though it sounds like he's saying ma sheochal, that which I will give you, have a korban. So why is that mutter? Because the less lay mechlal lavat hashemehin kid preciously ill. Rabbi Meir doesn't accept inference type logic, as we explained earlier. Uli inyan hay terutza de mitartzinon liel lo lechulin lehevei v'chulei hanimili hecho di omar loi lechulin. As far as what Rabbi Abba explained before, that not chulin shall it be, therefore you won't be able to eat from it, that's because he spelled out the expression lo chulin. And that's what Rashi points out here. Hani mi lihecho diomar loy lichulin, avol lichulin lo mashma loy lichulin. So you're dealing with a very, very fine difference in speech, and it makes all of the difference. If a person says lichulin lo ochaloch, that will not be binding, because in order to come to a statement of prohibition, you would have to draw an inference. However, if he says lo chulin, not lichulin, but lo, two separate words, lo chulin, then that leaves room for the explanation that Rabbi Abba gave before. Hence, it would be an actual straightforward vow, not inference drawing. So just reading Rav Ashi again, Rav Ashi Omar ha diomar lichulin. That is what we saw in the top source, where if a person says chulin or lichulin, let me be a little more precise on the third line from the top of the page, lichulin lo ochaloch muter, because in order to come to an expression of prohibition, you would have had to draw an inference. The ha diomar lo lichulin, however, the explanation we saw before of lekorban lochal Rabbi Meir Oser, that's the same would apply in the case of chulin if he said lo lichulin. De mashma lo leheve chulin ela korban, it shall not be chulin but rather a korban, and therefore you cannot eat from it. The Mishnah mentioned on the Yud Omid Beis, Tohor, V'tome, Nosar, Upigol, Usser. The use of any of those expressions, the vow would be binding. Notice we have a long question. Boy, Rami, Barchama. Actually, before we learn the question itself, let's glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, and also an indication that this is a long sugya that we're just going to be able to begin and not complete in the context of today's shir, but it lasts till Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The nosei, the topic reading, says on the margin, Hamatbis Beneder, one who formulates a vow prohibiting an item through comparing it to something else, Haim Matbis Beikoroi Oi Behetera, when you are comparing, let us say, an item, if you want to say the standard example is a loaf of bread, to a sacrifice. When you're making that comparison, are you making a reference to the sacrifice in its beginning or in its end? Kagon de munach lefon of besar chulin ubesar shlomim liachar zrika. Another case would be where a person has in front of him some common mundane meat, and meat from a peace offering, from a shlomim sacrifice, after the blood sprinkling was done. And he says, V'yomar zeh kozeh, I want the chulin meat to be like this. What is the person's intention? Now the Gemara. Boi Rami Barchama, Hare Olai, Kibasar zivchei shlomim liachar zrikas domim mahu. Here we're just going to translate, because we're going to have to refine this the presentation of the question in another line. But in the meantime, we translate. Person says, I want this to be upon me. And we said before, imagine he had a piece of meat sitting in front of him, and he says, a piece of chulin meat, and he says, I am accepting upon myself this piece of chulin meat to be like shlomim meat after the blood was sprinkled. Now, in all korbanos you'll find, in all animal offerings, you find a blood sprinkling, and most korbanos lend themselves to consumption, to being eaten. I mentioned that as opposed to a korban ul ola, which is a completely burnt offering. But other korbanos are eaten. And at what point can they be eaten? Not after they're merely slaughtered, but in addition to the slaughtering, there's a sprinkling of the blood or a blood application on the altar. That's called zrikas domim. So now, if a person said this, and Romi Bar Chama is asking a question, that I'm comparing an item that right now is mutter to a piece of shlomim after the blood was sprinkled. Mahu, what's the din? Well, Ida Ka'omar Bahadain Lishna, if a person said exactly that language, there's no question Behet Teiro Kamathis. He's comparing the chulin meat to the korban in its heter state, in its allowed state, and hence there's no vow. If you want to make something usur, you want to impose a nether, a prohibition on an item, you'd have to compare it to something that is prohibited, not to something that's allowed. Elo Kagoin, rather, what Romi Bar Chama is asking about is a case as follows. The mochis bosar zivche shlomim kameh. There is, mochis means there is lying in front of him some shlomim meat. Shlomim meat after the blood of that sacrifice was sprinkled. Umochis de teragabe. And there's heter meat in front of him. The omar, and the person declares ze kozeh. I want the heter meat to be like this basar shlomim. But that's all he says. We know the circumstances of the meat. The meat is after the blood has been sprinkled. But all the guy says is, he says, I want this currently, this chulin meat to be upon me. I'm accepting it upon myself to be like this, the shlomim. My, what is the fellow's intention? Be'ikoroi komathis o behetero komathis. Is he comparing the chulin meat to the shlomim in its original state, namely before the sprinkling of the blood, or in its allowed state, in other words, as it is now, hashed, as it is currently? Hence, at this point then, you see the question, and the Gemara proceeds to suggest a resolution by citing different sources. On the side of the Gemara, where the Mivneh note appears, you see a diamond is featured. These are, and if you just skim ahead in the Gemara, if you have Daf Yud Beis in front of you, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, you'll see a continuation of diamonds. And we indicated that this whole topic, though, won't be completed until you get to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So these diamonds represent Nisyonos Lifshot Hasheela, I Boser Ikoroi Oi Sofo. When being matfis, when comparing the item that you want to impose with a vow of prohibition, and I compare it to some other item, and we'll just assume that other item also has a before and after characteristic. Am I comparing the vow centered item, the item upon which I want to impose a vow of prohibition, am I comparing it to the other item in its original state or in its current state? Ta so omar rova toshma noisar upigol. We saw in the Mishnah that if a person uses these expressions comparing an item, that's what he said, a piece of bread, to nosar or pigol, it's binding. It becomes a vow that's binding. Now, nosar, this may be just to try to translate the words. Nosar is leftover sacrificial meat. Pigol is a reference to sacrificial meat that was processed with a wrongful mindset. And if you compare the allowed item to either nosor or pingle, it's considered a vow that takes hold. The Gemara continues at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. V'ha nosoru pingle li'achar zrikas domim hu. Technically speaking, something is not called nosor or pingle unless the blood sprinkling has been done already. We take a look at the maybe before we look into anything, I want to point out that in explaining this Gemara and some of the subsequent proofs, you're going to see a machloikis in the Meforshim, in the commentaries. So we'll take a look at the Ran commentary. the upper part of the narrow lines of the Ran commentary. V'ho noisur pigol liachar zrikas domim hu istelo garsi pigol. There are those that don't include pigol in the Gemara. Girsa sharei mikivan shnispagel ein zrikasu matiroso. This is Ran's pointing out something technical, and that is that once the zrika is done of a korban that you had a pigol mindset, so the zrika is not matirit. It doesn't allow the korban to be eaten. Elo minoiser kaparach. The question or the point of the Gemara here is drawn from the case of Nosar, the iser nidre poka le bezrikas dam. Vafilu hachi tnan de oser. Amo beikoro komathis. The Nosar is leftover korban meat. At the point that the zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood of that particular korban, was done, so the zrika allowed the meat to be eaten. So the vow or prohibition aspect of it would be undone at the point that the sprinkling of the blood was done. So if the sprinkling of the blood allows the meat to be eaten, and the Mishnah is saying that if you compare the item that you want to prohibit to Nosar and its binding, it must be Beikoro Komatvis, that you're comparing your item to the what we call the Nosar meat in its original pre-blood sprinkling state. The Gemara responds and says, from the citation of Nosar, you cannot draw any conclusions. Amar le Rav Huna braid Rav Noson Benosar shel Oila. The Mishnah is referring to someone comparing something to leftover Ola, the leftover Ola sacrifice. An Ola sacrifice is also known as a burnt offering. There is no part of it that's ever allowed to be consumed. The Ran elaborates, and let's look at the Ran together. Even if you were to say that the person's intention is to compare the item to the korban and in its current state, akati nidre lo poka, there would be no undoing of the vow, because the ha'olo asura afilu l'achar zrika. You might want to say, in simple terms, with regard to the oila, you don't have any change in the before and after. Before the zrika, it was forbidden, and after the zrika, it was forbidden. So, with that in mind, we understand if you say the Mishnah that said Nosar is usar, it's because you're referring to the Nosar of an oila. And since we're referring to the Nosar of an Ola, we can't resolve our question with regard to a person who had Shlomim meat sitting in front of him after Zrikas Adam, because in the case of Shlomim, there is a difference between the before and after. Omar Lay. So he says back to Rav Huna, we can maybe assume that Rava, who tried to conclude Rami Bar Chama's question from the Nosar citation, so Rav Huna rebuffed him. Nevertheless, Rava responds, says back, Omar Leim Kain, Lisni Kibasar Ola. If the Mishnah, when it says Nosar, and the result of comparing the item of upon which you want to impose the vow is a reference to you're comparing it to the Nosar of Ola, and Ola has there is no difference between the before and after, so the Mishnah should have been more direct. It should have said Kibasar Ola, and it doesn't say that. It says Nosar. Omar Le Rav Huna responds and says Lo Mi Baya Komar. And what do we mean by that? Lo Mi Baya, I don't have to tell you Basar Ola the Osir. The Obakorban Komatvis, if I compare an item a loaf of bread to Basar Ola. Of course, that's obvious that the vow takes place because you're comparing the loaf of bread to an actual sacrifice. And that's the paradigm of vow construction. However, Nosar Upigal Itzdericha, the Mishnah's teaching of comparing an item to Nosar and Pigal needs to be taught. Salkadaita Chamina, without that, I would have thought, Ke Isur Nosar Ki Isur Pigal. I'm comparing the bread to the Torah prohibition of eating Nosar, or the Torah prohibition of eating Pigal. Vahavile Kimatvis Bedovar Ha'osur Velo Mitzar. A person who would, let's say, be thinking in those terms, that would be comparing the item to something that is prior forbidden. We've spoken about this in the past. If a person were to say he has an intention of making a vow of prohibition, he says, I want to compare this loaf, in other words, this loaf of bread is unto me like pig. Such a vow would not be binding, because in vow construction you have to compare the item, which is the subject of the vow, to an item that you made forbidden, but not something that was pre-prohibited. Things like Nosar and Pigal, those are prohibited by the Torah. So such a vow wouldn't take place. Komash Malon, therefore the Mishnah needs to teach the case of Nosar, that when a person is comparing an item or imposing a vow of prohibition on an item and comparing it to Nosar, he's not referring to the Torah prohibition of Nosar, but he's referring to this specific piece of sacrificial meat that was left over. True, it experienced zrikas domim, but he is referring, in this particular case, as we said before, we're talking about Nosar of Ola, where there is no difference between before the zrika and after the zrika. Therefore, from here, you cannot draw any conclusions regarding the original question raised by Rami Bar Chama. His question focused on comparing the vow imposed item to Basar Shlomim. In the case of Basar Shlomim, there is a difference between it before the Zrikas Damim versus after the Zrikas Damim. So, Mirtz Hashem, in our next shir, we'll have to pick up from this point, if try to conclude Rami Bar Chama's question. Before we conclude today, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.